Hi, and welcome to Knowledge Counts, a podcast of the Canadian Institute of Quantity Surveyors. I'm Wendy Hobbs. Today, we're talking with Jeff Lobley about different forms of procurement and the risks they bring to the different parties involved. Jeff, let's start with the traditional design, bid, build, fixed price type of procurement. What are the risks associated with that?
All right, so the most common contract out there, and I'm going to stay away from CCDC language and just go with more general terms, lump sum. So the idea is that the owner gives the contractor a big bag of money and the contractor gives the owner a project. Straightforward, simple. We also call it design, bid, build because the owner hires a design team, they produce a design, the contractors bid on it, and the successful one builds it. Really straightforward. And possibly the riskiest way to build that exists. The problem is that the designers design in isolation. They don't actually know if it can be built. They don't know if they've included all the real scope because they don't have the builders involved. So they're working in a silo. When we get our fixed price, and I deliberately put that in sort of an air quote kind of tone, that is for the work that is designed. Not the real scope of work. So it becomes a game of change orders. The fixed price is never the final price. It usually has a 15 to 20% variance from the bid price. So the risk is that first off, the contractor is bidding a lump sum, so they have to include for any inconsistencies or problems or areas that are unclear in the scope. So they boost their price. And the next problem is it's a change order game. So for all those things that are unclear or change over the course of construction, or we get better understanding from the owner, change order, increase in price.
So the theory is that the risk of overage lies with the contractor?
Yeah, you're right. The theory is that the price risk belongs to the contractor. So if they bid the work and a 2x4 costs $4 at time of tender, and it costs $6 when we go to build, the contractor bears that risk. Conversely, if it drops to $2, they bear that reward. And that part is real. But the problem with design, bid, build is because everybody's working in silos, we wind up with unclear scope or incomplete scope that becomes understood during the project. So the price goes up.
Can you tell us a little bit about a common method of procurement for civil projects, unit price procurement?
Unit price, first off, I don't have a huge amount of experience with unit rate. Most of the stuff I get comes from what I've read and talked to with civil contractors. The idea is, in a design bid build, the contractor does a quantity takeoff to determine the quantity of concrete, for example. And then we go and we buy concrete at a certain price, put those together, we get a lump sum. We do that for the entire project. Unit rate is different. We're given what's called a schedule of quantities from the designer. And that schedule of quantities is supposed to be the actual quantities of the work. Then the contractor says, okay, there are 400 lineal meters of sidewalk, and the sidewalk is standard city 1.2 meter wide. I'm going to price that at $150 a lineal meter. Great. So we price the unit, not the total. Now the risk, and this is where unit rate contractors make a lot of money. Engineers are people too, and they make mistakes. So what we're looking for are the mistakes. So there are actually 40 lineal meters of 8-inch sanitary sewer on the project, but the engineer missed the zero. Identified it as 4. So even though we're going to be $800 a lineal meter for 40 meters, we're going to put $8,000 a lineal meter. And when you look at the multiplier, the total value seems legitimate, but then the actual quantity is 40. So that's where we make money on unit rate, is on the mistakes. Risk is that the actual quantities are not what shows up on the schedule of quantities. And this is very common in earthworks. Risk to the contractor, zero. They get paid for every cubic meter they move. Risk to the owner, they pay. So the risk is in the quantities there.
What are the risks with a design-build procurement model?
Design-build is a really interesting animal. Design-build is set up so that the contractor hires the designers. This changes the game entirely. And there's two scenarios. One is at the end of design, we convert the price to a lump sum, and then the contractor bears the risk for price changes, just like they do in a design bid build. Or it stays open book, at which point the owner bears the risk for cost changes. Now, just like design bid build, if we convert it to lump sum, the contractor is going to build a whole bunch of contingency in to manage the risk of changes. The other thing the contractor has to do is, because they are hiring the designers, they are responsible for design errors. So they can't transfer those to the owner as change order. So the contractor bears that risk. The other interesting thing about design bid build is typically design fees are lower because the contractor now bears the risk to coordinate the various design components, architectural, structural, mechanical, electrical, etc. So it's a pretty different animal, and there's some contractors that are very, very successful doing it that way. And the owner has one point of contact, which is a massive benefit for some owners that either don't want the risk of the argument between the general contractor and architect and want to keep it simple.
What's the difference in risk between design bid build and construction management?
So the biggest difference between design bid build and construction management is design bid build, the general contractor's budget is hidden. The owner doesn't see it other than a very primitive, simple breakdown for billing. Construction management, the owner sees every dollar. The construction manager in this case spends a dollar, the owner pays a dollar plus fee. So the general contractor actually has no financial risk. The owner bears the risk for those cost changes we talked about a few minutes ago. The benefit. The general contractor and owner and the design team have a much more open, collaborative relationship. It's a problem-solving culture rather than a confrontational culture. And because the owner is bearing the risk for cost, the price is usually lower. So remember, the owner always pays. But if we can make the process transparent and collaborative, the owner will typically pay less. Now, the risk, of course, is that the general contractor looks at this as a blank checkbook and goes nuts and charges them for everything at a really high, stupid rate. This is where the design team comes in. They are the check and balance to say, no, this is silly. Go back and have another look. So benefit, more collaborative, tend to be lower prices. Risk, if you get a construction manager, and sorry, I use the term general contractor and construction manager somewhat interchangeably, they're not. In a construction management project, it's a construction manager. If the construction manager is good, is open, and is really working on behalf of the owner, it works very, very well. The other benefit to construction management, if the drawings aren't great, so if the construction manager comes in after design is mostly finished and the drawings aren't great, that risk for the poor drawings on a design bid build would drive the price way up. But because the owner is taking the financial risk, the construction manager can come in with a much lower, much more fair price.
Some construction management contracts are procured with a guaranteed maximum price. How does that play into the incentive for the construction manager?
I have mixed feelings around guaranteed maximum prices. The guaranteed maximum price converts a construction management open book process into lump sum in terms of how the contractor is going to manage their risk. So now the general contractor or construction manager's job is to build contingency into the price. And when there are changes, now they're looking at it from that lump sum sort of lens. And they're making sure that everything is covered very, very carefully, very diligently. Now, in some ways, that is more fair. But when I've done GMP, guaranteed maximum price projects, I've also shoved more money in than I actually need on change orders. So the job is to increase the value of that guaranteed maximum price as much as possible. Now, at the end of the day, the owner still pays for every dollar the construction manager spends plus fee, nothing more. So it's fair in that respect, but that guaranteed maximum price, if you've got a very sharp construction manager, is not as useful as you would think because of that change order mentality.
Where's the difference in risk between construction management and a cost plus contract?
So the fundamental difference between construction management and cost plus. Construction management, the owner pays every dollar spent plus fee. So it sounds like cost plus. But when we're talking about the trades and the suppliers, very often they're lump sum. They have a stipulated price for a defined scope of work. So in construction management, we've taken that design, bid, build mentality and we've moved it from the general contractor, now construction manager, to the trades. Cost plus is kind of like unit rate, except we don't know the units. So cost plus, we have a very vague scope, usually has to be delivered very quickly. And so instead of saying, I will give you a bag of money for a project, it's I will give you $42 for every square foot of finished painted drywall on the project. So when we don't know how many square feet or square meters of drywall there are, there's no way of quantifying that before we start. Cost plus makes a lot of sense. We bid on rates. So when I'm bidding that painted drywall scope, contractor A says it's going to be $42. Contractor B says it's going to be $46. I'm going to hire contractor A. Again, for every dollar spent, we get cost plus fee. But the benefit of cost plus is when we really have no idea what the scope is. So if we're doing a major earthworks project where we haven't had time to do geotechnical investigation, if we're doing a quick renovation to a project or to a building, especially older buildings where we don't really know what's there because nobody kept the as-built drawings from 1961, cost plus has huge value. Oh, GMP. Oh, if you asked me to do a guaranteed maximum price on a cost plus project where the scope is vague, as a contractor, I'm going to say no. As an owner, I may say, I have this much money. I have $1 million for this work. Once we hit $1 million, we're stopping because that's all I've got. So guaranteed maximum price in a vague scope setting usually has more to do with when we stop work than it does with saying that as a contractor, I'll finish the work even if we hit the guaranteed maximum price. From the owner's perspective, I really can't speak to that because I've never been on that side. But as a contractor, if you asked me for a guaranteed maximum price on a cost plus, unless I could quantify it, I wouldn't do it. It's too risky. Once we hit a GMP, so again, that $1 million mark, the owner says the guaranteed maximum price is $1 million. If the contractor has agreed to deliver a scope, then once the owner has spent $1 million, the contractor is now on the hook to deliver that scope. If we come in under that $1 million, everybody's happy. If we hit that $1 million mark, that guaranteed maximum price, odds are the contractor's now losing money. So they're going to build risk into their rates to minimize that loss if we hit that limit. And when we say build risk into our rates, we're talking money.
Okay, next let's talk about integrated project delivery.
Integrated project delivery, IPD, is actually the least risky project delivery method out there. It doesn't sound like it at first blush. The difference between IPD and all the other methods is we bring all the key people in right at design inception. So we've got our design team, we've got our general contractor. So far it sounds like construction management. But we bring our key trades in, mechanical, electrical, structural, finishing even. Now we're not talking the painter, but we are talking about anything where the cost can seriously affect the scope. Because remember, we have the quality time, and cost triangle. All the other project delivery methods, it's pick two. You can have a good quality project cheap, but it's going to take a lot of time. You can have a fast, cheap project, but the quality is going to be low. With integrated project delivery, we say, no, we're going to balance the three. It's not pick three, it's pick all. And because we have all of the key trades that are building the work, as we're developing design, we know exactly what it's going to cost, and we know it can be built. There are very few constructability problems on an IPD project. Now, the reason owners think it's risky is because we're picking our trades, the ones who are actually going to build the work, before we have design. So aren't they going to give me a huge price? Well, we're pricing on rates. So we know what a journey person is going to cost. We know what an apprentice is going to cost. We know what a project manager is going to cost. And we know their capabilities. So we're not hiring a trade that can't do the project, where it's out of their reach. We're hiring good, competent companies. The other place of risk, we pay them by the hour during design. So the design price goes up astronomically. We seriously front load the costs. It's real. But for every dollar we spend in design, we save a huge amount at the end of the work. Integrated project delivery jobs have very few change orders, and they tend to relate to things like that are unknown, soil conditions. You know, yes, we do the geotechnical investigation, but they're never perfect. Weather. We get a flood like we did in 2013. Well, guess what? The project's delayed. Those are things that we can't plan for. That's where the change orders lie. We don't have coordination problems. Now, typically happens with integrated project delivery is we wind up being about 10% under the cost of a traditional building designed in traditional methods. 10% savings on the project. Now, risk. One of the ways we manage risk is we actually build a specific risk contingency into the project. If we spend all of that risk, we now chew into the trades and the general contractor's profit. Now, if we spend all of that, we've got a project that is really bad, and we hit the total value of the work. Now, the owner starts paying, but the trades, the contractor, get no profit. Now, you'd think that that might lead to bankruptcy. Overhead is included as a direct cost. So the trades, the contractors, overhead is covered. So the only thing they don't get is their profit, their return on investment. So the companies can keep their lights on. They can keep paying their electrical bills. The risk of integrated project delivery, in my opinion, is that people don't do it.
Is there a time where IPD wouldn't work?
Integrated project delivery is not the only collaborative contract out there. The way the contract is set up in Canada and the US, it doesn't work well for infrastructure. However, most of the provinces in Canada either have developed or are developing an infrastructure collaborative contract to deliver the work. If you want an example, have a look at the Highway 5 reconstruction in British Columbia. After the floods a couple of years ago, the atmospheric river, that's a new term I didn't know, they're now rebuilding Highway 5 at a pace that is just insane. They are moving so quickly because they're working under a collaborative integrated project delivery style contract designed for highways and infrastructure, and it's working.
Let's say I'm an owner. What procurement method is going to likely, at the end of the day, when I've paid for all of my design and construction, all my change orders and everything, which one is most likely going to cost me the least, and which one is most likely going to cost me the most, and why?
So this is counterintuitive. Everyone thinks that a lump sum is going to secure me the best cost at the end of the project and give me good value. It's not. Design, bid, build, lump sum, is the most expensive way to build. And the reason is that we clearly, and I again, clearly in big air quotes, define a scope. Then we go out to market and everybody bids it. It especially in today's day with huge market volatility, it's going to come in over budget. Then we apply value engineering to reduce the cost, and we take out all the cool things that makes the headquarters worth working in. Why? They're expensive. And, you know, you need the concrete or steel or wood structure. You don't need the feature water fountain in the middle or all the sustainability things that's going to make the building inexpensive to operate over the long term because you can't afford them. So we value engineer those out. And then the contractor nickels and dimes you on the change orders. And as someone who was a contractor, yep. So design, bid, build seems like the least risky way to build because we get that fixed price lump sum. But it's not. It's the most risky way to build because of all those problems. The least expensive way to build. Integrated project delivery. Because we're involving all of the trades, the contractor, all the designers working collaboratively up front, we break the silos, we actually have a design that can be built, and because we're pricing as we go actively, we understand the cost for those value-add things that make the building worth owning, worth working in. Sustainability, when we're looking at, for example, a net zero building, typically costs about 10 to 12% of your construction budget. Well, if you want to do those things, go integrated project delivery because you're delivering about 10 to 12% under what a similar building would cost in design, bid, build. So now you can afford all these really cool things that make the building worth owning.
You used to be a contractor. Which procurement method consistently made you the most profit?
Oh, that's a nasty question. The reason it's nasty is because there are still a number of contractors out there who are very, very good at the design, bid, build world. And they can manage the process such that they make money. And they've been doing it very well for a very long time. I haven't spoken to any of these contractors in a while, not since the beginning of COVID. So I'd be very curious to see how they're doing with the pricing volatility that we've had and the material shortages and how they're transferring those and that risk to the owner. Because technically they can't. The way I made the most profit, the most successful projects, the best relationships was in construction management. It's a nice balance between, you know, fixed price with the trades, open collaboration with the owner, and it's got a long track record of success. It's also got a long track record of predictability. Where it got difficult was, again, just before COVID, just before, really starting at about 2015, when oil prices dropped, fees dropped. So pre-2015, we were putting 5, 6% on projects and getting it. Oil dropped. We were celebrating if we got 2%. So we now have to find other ways to make our money. Rental rates, charge out rates, things like this. But again, we were competing on those too. So construction management went from very predictable, very easy to make profit and do a good job with a happy client at the end, to scraping for every penny. My money in this market, unless you've got that real comfort with design, bid, build, and you've got a group of people that's good at those change orders, integrated project delivery, that collaborative method now, is the best way to get predictable revenue, predictable profit.
What would you say to an owner who's wondering what the most important part of procurement is?
I mentioned this earlier, and I want to touch on it again because it's really important to remember. From the owner's perspective, the owner always pays, regardless of the project delivery method. Yeah, okay, there's ways to pay less, but if the owner wants something, they're going to pay for it. And it doesn't matter how we bury it, how we hide it, how the owner says, no, you pay for that, the owner always pays. If that wasn't the case, the contractors would go bankrupt. And sometimes it's pay me now or pay me later. So integrated project delivery, pay me now. Upfront, clear, straightforward. Design, bid, build, pay me later. I'm easy, but I'm going to get paid.
Thanks to Jeff Lobley for talking with us today about procurement and risk. For Knowledge Counts, I'm Wendy Hobbs.